to Sai.
Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving Sairams and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. You are tuned to Asia's stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you the message of love and service of Bhagwan Baba. And a warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live. This is the segment Seva and Sadhana, and I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, and joining me as always is Brother Ganesh. Sairam Ganesh, greetings.
Sairam Raghu, Sairam dear listeners.
Well, the time right now in our studio is 11:35 a.m. Indian Standard Time, Prashanthi Nilayam Standard Time. And at the very outset, dear listeners, let us all collectively offer our most humble, prayerful, grateful pranams and gratitude at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the voice and the listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Well, today is 7th of July and today is the festival of Eid. So, Eid Mubarak to all of you, dear listeners.
Eid Mubarak, Raghu, and Eid Mubarak to all the listeners all over the world. Sai Ram.
Yes, Ganesh, you want to share something about Eid?
So, it was a few years back when all the students were preparing for a beautiful cultural program inside Kulwant Hall in front of Swami. And Swami, usually we used to have the program in the outside of Kulwant Hall. But on that particular day, Swami asked all the participants of the cultural program, it was on a Ramzan day, He asked all the participants to come inside the Bhajan Mandir. So then we all assembled inside with Swami's beck and call, and we had the privilege of sitting right in front of the Simhasan of Swami in Bhajan Hall, and Swami was seated in the throne, and we were all around Swami. And Swami started discussing about the beautiful festival of Ramzan. And there were some small primary kids who were Muslim boys. And Swami was very fondly talking to all of them. And he was telling us the significance of Ramzan. And most importantly, the significance of the most important aspect of Ramzan festival, which is fasting.
Yes.
And Swami told that the real meaning of fasting is nothing but upavasa, which is closeness and dearness to the Lord.
Okay.
Upa means closeness. Close. And vasa is to be.
Okay.
So on that festival day, we were all seated right next to Swami, and then we had that privilege of doing upavasa on the holy Ramzan festival. And it was a very beautiful time which we had with Bhagwan, and he was narrating various aspects of Ramzan festival, why exactly Muslims wear a cap, and all those details of Ramzan festival. Okay.
Well, in fact, it was nice experience to be cherished. Oh, as you said, upavasa, sitting very close to the Lord, and
yes.
And we all had the ultimate upavasa.
Yes, right? Actually,
divine upavasa.
Divine upavasa. Our topic which we are going to cover today also is very, very closely related to the festival of Ramzan.
Correct. That's
so
right.
We shall go ahead, Raghu.
Well, dear listeners, we'll come to the topic, and let me just give an update about the Prashanthi Nilayam here, what's happening. Today is 7th of July, and for next 10 or 12 days, Prashanthi Nilayam will be filled with Sai youth from all over the world. Because next week, for 3 days, that is on 12th, 13th and 14th of this month, there's going to be a Sai Youth Festival. And from day after tomorrow onwards, that is from 9th onwards, every day in the evening, there will be program, cultural program in the Sai Kulwant Hall by the youth from different countries all over the world till 19th of this month. And 19th of this month happens to be the Guru Purnima Festival. So every day, there will be live programs in the sense all these programs will be webcast live in our site radiosai.org. So listeners, wherever you are, please tune in every evening to the site radiosai.org, and you can see the cultural programs from Sai Kulwant Hall. With that, dear listeners, let's, Ganesh, come to our topic.
The main topic.
Yeah, of this segment, Seva and Sadhana. So, as all of you will be knowing from past couple of weeks, we are discussing on the topic that is the eight flowers. That is the eight real flowers which we should offer to the Lord. And these flowers are Ahimsa, non-violence, Indriya Nigraham, control of senses. Third flower is compassion, Daya. Fourth is Kshama, forbearance. Fifth one happens to be peace, Shanti. Sixth is Tapas, penance. Seventh is Dhyana, meditation. And the last flower is Satya, truth. So today we are talking on the sixth flower, right, Ganesh?
Yes.
So it is Dhyana, it is Tapas, penance. And Ganesh, whenever we hear this word tapas or penance, what comes to our mind, or what comes to my mind,
yeah, please tell,
as a layman, is the picture of the sages and saints
standing on one leg and doing meditation
with a background of forests.
Yes.
And this comes to my mind because we have seen the video serials of Ramayana and Mahabharata, how it happens in Treta Yuga or Dwapara Yuga. These sages and saints, they will be meditating in the remote forest, and they will have long beard, matted hair and such things. They will be totally cut off from the kingdom. So this comes to my mind. And also, in few cases, some of these kings of the kingdom, they suddenly say, oh, I'm going for penance, doing tapas, because I want something, some boon from the Lord, to get a darshan of the Lord, and to get some boons and divine blessings for their own interest. So these things comes to my mind. In fact, every kingdom during Treta Yuga or Dwapara Yuga had a group of spiritual ascetics, sages and saints who are involved in this tapas, because they are doing it for the welfare of the kingdom. So every kingdom, just like how there will be king, ministers, there will be sages and saints who will do tapas, do tapas for the protection. In fact, if you know, in Ramayana also, sage Vishwamitra had come to King Janaka to ask for Rama and Lakshmana.
Dasharatha.
Dasharatha, the king of Ayodhya, to ask for boys, Rama and Lakshmana, because Vishwamitra wanted to conduct a yajna for the welfare of the kingdom, but few demons were
Maricha and Subahu were troubling
the penance. So he had asked, come to take Rama and Lakshmana. So these things come to my mind when we talk about penance. But Swami, in his earthly sojourn of 85 years, has given a lot of discourses, and in his Vahinis we can find solution for each and every spiritual question. Swami has also spoken on each and every spiritual topic. So Ganesh, let's start from what Swami has said about tapas.
Yes. If we all read the Vahini, Prashnotra Vahini, wherein Swami so beautifully puts himself in the place of a spiritual aspirant, and he himself has devised the questions as well as the perfect answers for that. So what doubts that rise in a person's mind, Swami has put down everything and he has given lucid answers to each and every question that arises in our minds.
Okay.
So what exactly is this tapas, tells Swami? It means the end of the activities of the senses. One must be the master of all of them. There should be no trace of craving or appetite. It involves effort to attain Brahman, incessant yearning for the end. It must be expressed to moderate food and sleep. It means agony to realize the principle.
Okay.
And Swami tells that there are three kinds of tapas. One is sattvic tapas, the second one is rajasic tapas, and third one is the tamasic tapas.
Okay.
So, and he goes on to tell that such kind of tapas is called sattvic if one has the motto of realizing oneself. That becomes sattvic tapas. In the case of rajasic tapas, Swami tells that those who simply starve the body and make it weak without curbing the senses and controlling emotions are doing only emotional spiritual practice. and they don't study or meditate upon the Atmic principle or the Atma Tattva. They lay emphasis only on the physical asceticism.
Okay.
And then Swami goes on to tell, what is tamasic tapas?
Mm.
Spiritual practice out of ignorance is tamasic tapas. Mm. Means that is to propitiate the gods for favors, and then with the favors as instruments to desires the exploitation of world. That is spiritual practice out of ignorance.
Okay. So I think from these three kind of tapas, I can classify my pictures just like the kings, they used to go, as I said, the kings used to go and do tapas. So the kings belong to the tamasic category of tapas, right?
Mm.
For example, Ravana used to do penance to acquire some powers. And also in the Mahabharata, Arjun, when Arjun...
He does tapas for acquiring the Pashupati Astram.
Mm. Mm. Because he want to kill Karna, right? And Sattvic tapas may be the different sages and saints who used to do penance and spiritual activities for Loka Kalyanam.
Mm.
And also this Rajasic tapas, if we say, we can take the example of Lord Buddha.
Mm.
Lord Buddha, initially he was a great king, Siddhartha.
But as
we all know, he saw the sufferings and he came to know that this world is temporary.
Mm.
And he wanted to acquire the permanent bliss, happiness.
Mm.
So he also gets involved in rigorous tapas, mainly the Rajasic kind of tapas, as you said, where he starves and doesn't eat for a long time, and he loses his strength, physical strength, but still goes on doing tapas. But finally, he over a period of time, he finds that he has not
acquired anything.
Mm. So finally, at that moment, he realizes that what we should do is not. What we should not do is extremes.
Mm.
We should stick to the middle path.
Mm.
As he said, Samyak walk.
Samyak drishti and Samyak shravanam.
Yeah.
Mm. It is good listening, good speech and good looks.
Mm. So he stuck to the middle path and finally he realized the ultimate.
Mm.
So these are the three kinds of tapas which generally people go to the forests and do, right, the penance. In fact, Swami has also in a discourse said, right, the unity of thought, word and deed is very important.
Mm.
So shall we listen to the clip?
Actually, now we are delving little more deeply into this aspect of tapas. People may be trying to understand tapas is something which we have to do, go right into the forest, close our nose, do pranayama and stand on one leg, do Surya Namaskars. This is called tapas. But Swami is the ultimate guru for all of us. And he tells that is not something which is far away from you. It is very much in your life which you can acquire.
Mm.
So now we shall listen to Swami and his explanation of what exactly is tapas.
తపస్సు అనగా కేవలం తల కింద పెట్టి కాలు పైకి పెట్టడం లేక కేవలం కఠినమైనటువంటి యొక్క శిక్షణలో మనం మునగటం ఇలాంటిది తపస్సు అనలేదు.
తపస్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి కన్ఫ్యూజ్డ్ విత్ సింప్లీ స్టాండింగ్ విత్ వన్స్ హెడ్ అప్ సైడ్ డౌన్ ఆర్ అండర్ గోయింగ్ సివియర్ పెనన్స్ అండ్ డిఫికల్టీస్.
సర్వసంగ పరిత్యాగై కేవలం అరణ్యమునందు చేరి ఆకులనములు మేయుచూ ఏదో ఒక విధమైనటువంటి దీక్షను పెట్టడమే తపస్సు కానేది.
Giving up everything, going into a forest, living on herbs and leaves, that cannot be called tapas.
Manomakayamulu trikara shuddhiga chesukovatame tapas yokka antaratham.
To be able to get your mind, your thought, your word and your deed, make them clear and rid them of all impurity, that should be called tapas.
Kanuka mottamotta mana manasunu parishuddhi parchukune nimittamai kontha satyamu cherali.
The first stage, that is to clear up your mind, your thoughts, you have to join some kind of satsang or good company. To be able to make your word pure, you have to read some good books. In the third stage, you have to do some good work.
కనుకని ఇందులో మనం చేయవలసినటువంటి కాయరీతిగా మంచి పని, వాక్కు రీతిగా మంచి వాక్కు, మనసు రీతిగా మంచి తలంపు, ఈ మూడు తలంపుల యొక్క సమ్మేళనం తపస్సు యొక్క అంతరాత్మ.
With your body doing good work, with your mind having good thoughts, and with your mouth uttering good words, these are the three good aspects of tapas.
దీనిని పురస్కరించుకుని మనస్సేకం వచస్సేకం కర్మణ్యేకం మహాత్మనం. మనస్ అన్యత్ వచస్ అన్యత్ కర్మ అన్యత్ దురాత్మనం అని కూడా ప్రబోధించారు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ దిస్ కాంటెక్స్ట్ వీ హావ్ బీన్ టోల్డ్ దట్ ఇఫ్ థాట్ ఈస్ వన్ వర్డ్ ఈస్ ద సేమ్ థింగ్ అండ్ డీడ్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ద సేమ్ థింగ్ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఇస్ అ హార్మోనీ బిట్వీన్ థాట్ వర్డ్ అండ్ డీడ్ యూ బికమ్ అ గ్రేట్ మ్యాన్ ఇఫ్ దెర్ ఇస్ డిస్ హార్మోనీ బిట్వీన్ థాట్ వర్డ్ అండ్ డీడ్ థాట్ ఈస్ వన్ థింగ్ వర్డ్ ఈస్ ఎట్ అనదర్ డీడ్ ఈస్ స్టిల్ అనదర్ దెన్ యూ బికమ్ అ బ్యాడ్ మ్యాన్.
So I think that explains to all of us that tapas is nothing but unity of thought, word and deed.
Yes.
And Swami gives a very beautiful example for this. We have often heard this example. He tells that the heart is like a big water tank. And the tank is connected to, there are different taps that are connected to the big tank.
Okay.
And each tap he refers to the thoughts which we have, the words which we speak, the actions that we do.
Okay.
These
so
are the
three taps.
And then Swami tells, if you fill the tank with good water, the water that comes out of the tap is good.
Yes, correct.
If you fill the tank with bad or spoiled water, the water which you get is also bad.
Obviously.
So he tells, fill the entire tank of that heart with pure love.
Wow, nice.
And then what you speak, what you do, and what you think will also become pure. So the basis of the entire filling up of this tank is pure love.
So it's so simple.
Yes.
For the unity of thought, word, and deed, what is important is what is there in our heart.
Yeah.
Good feelings. Pure love, as you said. In fact, even we can take the example of Dhruva. Even if we listen to the story of Dhruva, we also come to know more about this unity of thought, word and deed. So Dhruva is the son of King Uttanapada. He had two wives, Suruchi and Suniti, and Suruchi's son was Uttama and Dhruva was Suniti's son. So it seems one day both Uttama and Dhruva were playing in garden and both became very tired. There was their father in the garden and Uttama immediately went to his father and sat on his lap. And Dhruva also wanted to sit on father's lap. But at that point, Suruchi, Uttama's mother, will come and she won't allow Dhruva to sit on father's lap. Why? Because Suruchi said, see, I am more beloved to
the king.
So if you have to sit on your father's lap, you have to take birth in my womb. And this, because of this, Dhruva became insulted and he went to his mother and he started crying. Then mother started consoling him. She said, see, God is the only friend. Whatever you want, you go to forest, involve in rigorous penance and get God's grace and ask him. And Dhruva, the 5-year-old, he takes it very seriously, the innocent Dhruva, and he just goes to forest and he didn't know what to do. His mother said, just do penance. And what penance? Nothing he knew. And he is just going to the forest. And on the way, he meets Narada, sage Narada. And Narada asks Dhruva, where are you going? And Dhruva says, I'm going for penance. And Narada says, see, it's not so easy doing penance. You have to go through many hardships. There will be wild beasts, demons, and extreme climates. You'll have to starve. But Dhruva was very steadfast in his word, and so Narada says, okay, you start chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Dhruva started his penance, the chanting of Lord's name. And after doing rigorous penance, Lord indeed appeared in front of him. And when Dhruva saw the Lord, he was just in bliss. And he almost forgot what he wanted to ask.
Okay.
And in fact, poetry just came out of his mouth. Poetry of, in appreciation, exalting the Lord.
Praises of the Lord.
Yeah. And the Lord cools him down and tells him, yes, Dhruva, you have come here to ask for a boon. Come on, tell me.
What boon do you want?
Yeah, in fact, Lord knows the boon, but he wants Dhruva himself to tell. Then Dhruva says, Lord, I have had your darshan. I am, in fact, realized I don't want anything.
Mm.
At that time, Lord says, see, Dhruva, there should be unity in thought, word and deed.
Mm-hmm.
You had a desire to sit on your father's lap,
mm,
and that gave, and because of that you got the thought,
mm,
of doing the penance.
Mm.
And your deed also is correct. The action is there. You did the penance.
Mm.
But the word is not coming.
Mm.
So thought, word and deed. Thought and deed is there, but word is
not in alignment.
Not in alignment.
Mm.
So Lord says, no, you should speak,
mm,
out.
Mm.
But Dhruva says, no, Lord, I don't want anything. I don't want to go back. I don't want this word.
Mm.
I want to merge in you. Then the Lord says, no, you can't do it.
Mm.
This is not the correct thing you have done. There should be unity in thought, word and deed.
Mm.
So Lord says, in fact, Dhruva says, okay, Lord, you tell me what to do. I will do it. Because,
okay,
he was already in that philosophical level because of Lord's darshan.
Mm.
And the Lord says, okay, Dhruva, you go back, serve your parents, be a good king. In fact, Lord says that your father has repented for the action,
mm,
by now. So he will take you as his beloved son and he will make you his the next king. So after all the duties, since you have done this penance at this young age, I will give you the highest position,
mm,
the position in the sky of being one of the stars in one of the constellations, Saptarshi,
mm,
the Dhruva star.
Mm.
So you see, here also, the thought, word and deed is very important. Unity in thought, word and deed is important.
So when you are talking about this thought, word and deed, I am reminded of an incident that happened in Kodaikanal in the year 2007. It was the date May 1st of 2007, and in one of the sessions, Swami came after the bhajans and he asked all the students and the VIPs, Yemi Samacharam. Then it happened to be May 1st, and one of the elders got up and told Swami, Swami, today is May Day, and this is a day for all the laborers to take a break from, mm-hmm, their year-long work.
Yeah.
And then they just celebrate today. And then one more elder who was sitting in the audience told that, Swami, there is a Labor's Day for even Americans and also the Japanese. And that sir started explaining the working conditions and the working ethics of the Japanese people.
Mm.
And then he told, Swami, if you don't mind, I want to tell one more thing. The work ethics and the work culture of the Japanese is very much similar to the hostel culture that Swami has started.
In Satya Sai Hostel.
In Satya Sai, yeah, Hostel. To be very specific.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Then Swami told, is it so? Then he asked the reason, why is it so? Because he told Japanese have lot of unity amongst them. And even all the Satya Sai students who are staying in the hostel have lot of unity in them. And then Swami was, he thought, yes, this is the right time to teach everyone a beautiful lesson. And then he looked at the students who were assembled there. He asked each one of them, do you have unity? Do you have unity?
Mm.
And then Swami started explaining, see, there is a group of people. It is called a community or a congregation. So what is, then he continued, Is it true that you people have, you boys have unity amongst yourself? Then each one gave one answer to Swami, and nothing pleased Swami. And then one of the boys, he told, Swami, I just have to tell you one thing. Every small action which we do in the hostel or in the university, we do just to please you. So our thought is to make you happy.
Mm.
So our action leads our thought to do good actions. So that is what we pray also. We pray to Swami that whatever actions we are doing, it should please you. And then at the acharana level or the practice level, we do what we tell. So that makes the thought, word and the action come in unison. And that answer from the boy pleased Swami so much. Yeah, this is the right answer.
Hmm.
See, you do to please God, you do to please Swami. That is why your Trikarana Shuddhi is being followed there. And then what happens after that? there is a group of people, the congregation which you tell it is, when it has unity of thought, word and deed, it becomes a satsang.
Okay.
Such a beautiful explanation by Swami.
Yes, yes. And if we call something like satsang, and if there is no thought, word and deed, then it becomes just a congregation.
Just a congregation and nothing more.
In fact, it's very true. When we are in Swami's hostel, whatever we do, it's only for pleasing Swami, right?
Yes.
Whatever the programs that boys put up in Sai Kulant Hall, or even the studies.
Yes.
Yes.
Because Swami keeps on asking about our studies and
studies,
our progress in
GPA. In fact, I remember when I was studying in Vrindavan campus, studies also was important, because only those boys who used to get O grade will be given good roles in the convocation drama or whatever, major roles, so that they can go close to Swami. That was one of the criteria. When you are saying about this, I am just tempted to just add to what you are saying.
Sure, Raghu.
About the Satsasai hostel and what Swami, what boys do to please God. It seems once one of the elderly devotee commented to Swami, what happens during the Trai session? Trai sessions, as everyone knows, it is after the evening
bhajans.
Evening bhajans in Sai Kulant Hall. After the evening
Sai Ramesh Hall.
Evening darshan in Sai Ramesh Hall in Vrindavan campus. So immediately boys will get a call that there will be a Trai session. And immediately all the boys will run and go inside the Trai to get the first place.
Yes, to most coveted place.
Yeah, to sit as much close to Swami as possible. So when boys run, they just run, and sometimes few boys may fall also, or some of the pots, flower pots on the way may get broken. So when this used to happen, it seems one of the elderly devotee told Swami, he almost complained, Swami, what is this? This is not discipline. Boys are running like this to have your darshan. And at that time, it seems Swami told, see, at this young age, where on earth can you find boys running behind God?
Yeah.
So even that act also is for Swami. And we are talking about the purity of thought, word and deed. So here I would like to share something that Swami has told, which gives the message that we should have a pure thought always. So once it seems Swami was telling his student, boys, you know, how do I create things?
Okay.
How do I create things, that is ring or chain or anything. And boys wanted to know. So Swami said, see, generally there are three ways of creating okay. things. The first way is worldly way, where raw materials are collected in a factory. Factory, the things are created. Yeah, manufactured. That is a worldly way. And then Swami said, there is another way, which the sadhakas and siddhapurushas do. Because of the penance and tapas they do over a period of time, they will acquire some strength, some
siddhis.
Powers. Yeah, some siddhis. And using these siddhis, they can create things. That's what Swami said. But this is also temporary. If they use more of their siddhis, then their powers will get over. And after that, they won't be able to create things. So Swami said, this is the second way. Then Swami said, see, there is another way, third way. And Swami said, that is my way of creating things. And all wanted to know what is the method of Swami's creation. So Swami said, see, I just think and I get it. That is my way of creating things.
Okay.
And Swami told the boys, see, you want to see? And Swami pointed with his left hand, forefinger, Swami pointed to his head, and Swami said, see, a thought is coming in my mind that I want a golden ring. And see, boys, the golden ring is there in my right hand. And Swami shows to all the boys. There was a golden ring with the emerald, green emerald stone. And Swami again tells, see, now I am getting the thought that this green emerald stone should become white diamond.
Okay.
I am getting the thought, and immediately the green emerald becomes a white diamond. See, it has become. See how simple it is. Then boy said, Swami, you are divine. You are using divine powers. Then Swami said, see, this is not my divine power. I didn't use my divine power to do this. I used my power of purity. And Swami went on saying that from the time I took avatar in this world, in this earth, not even one selfish thought has crossed my mind. Each and every thought that came in my mind were pure and were for others.
It was selfless.
Yeah, selfless. For Loka Kalyanam. So this is my power. That's what Swami said.
Such a beautiful lesson for all of us.
Yeah. Mm. In fact, there is one more experience that Brother Indareshwar, who has narrated, who has seen the experience. In fact, we have got the audio clip. Mm. Shall we play it?
Surely.
This is in my, I think I was in my 12th standard, if I'm not mistaken. It was the evening time, and we were part of the gymnastic group, and we were toiling away at the horizontal bars which had been installed for the first time. I think you also had a brief this thing with the horizontal bars. So we were toiling away at it. It was a very difficult thing. Most of the times before, we were working with ground exercises, and that was easy. Here you had a solid metallic bar which gave you a souvenir of blisters on your fingers every evening, and you healed it every night to rip it open the next day again as you were practicing. And it was one of those golden moments that in the evening as we were toiling away, Swami drove past. He came into the stadium, and when he was not at all expected over there. And when Swami came in, Swami stopped, he watched the boys do a few things, and Swami was very keen about so many small things. I mean, right from the fact that he wanted all the boys to be armed with a langot, you see, to the fact as to how we were doing the warm-up and how you should do the cooling exercises. And then there afterwards, from the exercise, he went on to the front as to how you should be building your muscles. At that point of time, one of our boys, Satya Prasad, you know, a smile escaped his lips, because he was kind of a Tarzan, fit with a sculpted body. And there was Swami, a frail figure, whom everyone has known, talked about merely spirituality, delivering a sermon on how to build muscles. So it just didn't sound a bell over there, didn't click, and a smile escaped his lips, and nothing escapes Swami's eye. And Swami saw that, and he said, you think I don't know about exercise? And most of us thought the same thing, but of course nobody spoke. So Swami started talking about exercising, which was of the Mal Kusti days, you know, that is probably more up in tune with Krishna's times, and where the dumbbell goes around the head. Most of us were not aware of that system. Then what Swami did, Swami told Satya, he said, strength doesn't come from muscles. So that was quite a revelation, and which threw everybody off their feet. And well, Swami saying it, so it is. Then he told Satya that, how strong are you? So this was absolutely wonderful, because a student got a chance, possibly for the first time in history,
sure,
to get into a combat with Swami. And this was lovely, because there you had on the gymnastic bench a very rustic setting, the student on one side, Swami on the other side, locked in battle. Again, it was arm wrestling
with Swami.
With Swami, locked in a grip over there.
Oh my god.
Alright. Satya trying to be too careful so as to not try and hurt Swami's delicate hand. So just making a show out of it, but enjoying the fact that, you know, if any excuse to catch the divine hand, if fighting him is to be it, so be it. You catch hold of the Lord. So there he was, catching hold of Swami, And everybody a little slightly envious of him, hoping that, you know, I wish we could be in that position.
Oh, beautiful.
And then suddenly you saw Satya's face distort a little, his jaw muscles tightening, his every nerve and sinew tightening as he was actually battling Swami. Swami was, and Swami's face had a benign smile. There was no pressure on Swami whatsoever. Satya going, you could see his jugular pumping out, his muscles becoming taut. Swami was relaxed. And the fist started shaking over there. Satya didn't realize what was happening. He looked up to the students. The boys took a cue. So the one or two others who jumped in to give support to their brothers. You see, fraternity is all about supporting one another, especially if it means you get a bit of sight. So other hand came in. Now, I can't be sure. It was too fast a rapid a moment as to how many were battling the good Lord. But there they were. There were a few boys on the other side. Swami was quite cool about it. And in one moment, bang, came down everyone. The thing had got over. And everybody was looking up to Swami. Definitely what came into our minds is, you are God. Nobody can fight you. A moment ago, he was frail. He was delicate. He was, the boys had to ensure that we didn't hurt Swami. The next moment, our physical pride was hurt, but our hearts were leaping in joy, and we had witnessed something which was, I'm sure, totally historic. I don't think it has ever happened again. And then Swami looked up and he said, "Kaisa laga?" He said, "Swami, you are God, of course. I mean, you can put down the whole world." He says, "No, I've come to put up the whole world, not to put them down." Next moment, he says, "But this was my physical strength. It was not my divine strength. That didn't go down many of our gullets." "Swami, you are God. I mean, we just thought the thing was tremendously intertwined." He says, "No, I'm absolutely pure. From the day that I've come onto the planet till today, I have not done one single wrong deed. It is the power of purity. I have not yet used my divinity. This was not my divine strength. It was my physical, pure strength."
Well, dear listeners, I am sure that was an amazing experience. Swami having arm wrestling with boys.
Oh, wow. You can't even imagine doing that.
And also we have come to know, so what is Swami's secret of his power? The power of purity.
Purity.
And it's easy to say, but very difficult to not even get one selfish thought in us or a selfish act. Mm. Even if we see from Swami's life, the entire life, right from childhood, the various episodes of Swami's life, we come to know that it was always for others.
The welfare of all.
Yeah. And Swami's Seva projects, the super specialty hospitals, which gives free treatment for all. Mm. Actually, when I was in hostel, I just was reading a newspaper, and in that there was a headline where it said that a heart surgery in US costs about 10 lakhs.
Mm.
But in India, it costs about 2 lakhs.
Mm.
So some news was there like that regarding the heart surgery. And when I read that, I just thought that the editor should have added one more sentence that a heart surgery in Swami's super speciality costs nothing.
Yes.
So continuing, now we know that the unity of thought, word and deed is the real tapas that we should do. But before continuing, let me ask a question. Why tapas is required? Why we should do penance? Why should there be a unity in thought, word and deed or whatever?
Well, this is a very difficult question, Raghu. But if we delve a little deeply into the topic, in order to purify our thoughts, words, and deeds, no, I think a strict adherence to some sort of discipline is very much required. So for that, I have a very nice analogy for that. See, sometimes even after doing lot of following lot of discipline, we don't find adequate results in our spiritual progress or whatever things we are aiming at. So we don't find that there is no improvement in me and all that. So for that, there is a beautiful analogy of a bamboo. It's very interesting to know how a bamboo grows. When we start planting a bamboo, it's a very, very small 1 foot stick.
Yes.
So when it is planted, you have to keep watering it, you have to keep giving manure to that, and you have to fence it nicely. And what happens, this continues, this process of watering and adding manure continues till 5 to 6 long years. And then still there is no growth in the bamboo.
Okay. No growth is seen from outside.
At the periphery, there is no growth seen. But suddenly, in a span of 6 weeks, after this 5 years, the entire bamboo goes and grows to a length of 90 feet.
90 feet? Oh.
90 feet.
My God.
Actually, there is a very beautiful story where a youth who is very much troubled with his life goes for searching for solace, and then he meets a guru, and the guru narrates this example of the bamboo. Then he asks the disciple, "Hey boy, what do you learn from this bamboo?" Means you have been doing good things, but nothing is happening, you are so worried. Then how long did this bamboo take to grow? Then the boy tells, "Guruji, the bamboo took 6 weeks to grow." Then the guru tells, "No, you are absolutely wrong. It took 6 years and 6 weeks to grow." He has not seen the process that underwent during those 6 years. And he goes on to explain that the bamboo goes as deep as 90 feet. And it creates a big long network.
The roots.
The roots.
Oh, in the ground. 90 feet it grows.
90 feet it grows. Down.
Down is it.
So it makes its foundation very, very strong. And then in the 6 weeks time, it grows to 90 feet.
Yes.
So the process of undergoing that severe sadhana or tapas is very much required in order to progress spiritually. That's what I feel. In order to get the maturity of mind, then the understanding of whatever we are doing will come automatically.
Yeah, in this case of bamboo, the roots had to be so strong so that it can withstand the 90 feet high tall.
Yes, very much.
Length.
Very much.
And I am also reminded of one more analogy of how a surgeon does surgery. Surgeon will use many instruments like knife, scissors, gloves and etc. for doing the surgery. And if one of the instruments says that the surgeon should use only me, not the other instrument, like take for example knife. If the knife says, no, surgeon should use only me, then it's not possible. The surgeon will just take the knife, use it, like cut the body open and keep it back. And he will use other instruments. So what the knife should do is, it should remain sharp. So that the surgeon, when he wants to use knife for next time in the same surgery or in another surgery,
it should be ready for the use.
Yeah, it should be ready. So that the surgeon takes the same knife. So it should not get rusted or dust should not accumulate on it. So it should keep itself sharp. So this is the process of sadhana. Even in human life also, God will make us his instruments whenever the time comes.
Yes.
So till he makes us instrument, we should always be pure and be ready for it.
Because the call from God can come from anywhere and any time.
Yes.
And last time when we were talking about the topic of kshama, we were delving much deeper into the idea of the divine photographer.
Correct.
We were telling that, see, a human being who takes a picture or a photograph, he tells, yes, are you ready? Or smile before he clicks the photograph.
Yes.
But it does not happen in the case of the divine photographer, God. Because he is always ready with the camera and he keeps taking a series of shots. So, in the series of shots, all that we do is being captured. So the sadhana or the tapas which we do is always taken into account. See, it's like a bank account which Swami tells Naragu. If you have enough account in your bank, it's always easy to encash the amount.
Correct.
So when the time comes, God will look back at what you have acquired and then he'll give according to that.
Yeah. Even when you said about this bank account, and I'm actually reminded of what Swami said once about this prasadam distribution. In Cyclone Thal, what happens is after the program in Cyclone Thal, if any program is staged or during festivals, prasadam is distributed by the students.
Okay.
So it seems once Swami had told boys, you know why I am giving this chance to, for you to do prasadam distribution? It is because in future, wherever you are, you may need my intercession, you may need my extra grace.
Yes.
And at that time, I should look back and find some small act that you have done for me, because of which I can just overflow my grace on you.
Yes.
So this act of prasadam distribution is one such act, one such chance that Swami is giving giving to the students to do, so to get put, his grace in multifold.
So to put something in our account so that we may encash it at the right time.
Yeah. In fact, this is for students. This is for boys. Now, devotees may ask, what about us? And for that also, Swami has given a very clear reply. It seems once, it so happened was, after the super specialty hospital was inaugurated, many of the poor people from all over India used to come to get their treatment in Swami's hospital because it's free of cost. And it used to happen that, even now it happens, there used to be, there will be a long waiting list. And few of the poor people who were still waiting for their chance to come, they used to, it seems, come to Swami and request Swami, pray to Swami, Swami, you are God, please treat us directly. And at that point of time, it seems Swami told the then state presidents, president of different states of India, of such a seva organization, Swami told them, see, when you go back, don't just tell people to come to hospital directly. In fact, tell people to get involved in some social service, to get involved in Sadhisai Seva organization and do service. Small, whatever small service they can, let them do. If they do service and then come, then I can look back on their bank account or whatever you say,
very much.
Spiritual bank account through which I can flow my grace.
So when you are telling this, I am reminded of the incident when Hanuman meets Vibhishana in Lanka. So Hanuman, as the story goes, he goes in search of Mother Sita and he comes across Vibhishana, who is chanting Lord Rama's name in Lanka. So he is astonished and he goes to have a conversation with Vibhishana.
Yeah, Lanka is full of demons.
Yes. And then he finds it very interesting that Vibhishana is chanting Lord Rama's name. Then he asks him, and Vibhishana tells, see Hanuman, even though I am the brother of Lord Ravana, I am still chanting the name of Lord Rama because I am a devotee of him. Then Hanuman tells him, see, you are doing intense Namasmarana, but what effort are you putting in order to make Sita come close to Lord Rama? What seva are you doing? So he is not getting involved in any physical service to help Mother Sita to come close to Lord Rama.
What exactly Vibhishana says is, he says, Hanuman, you are so lucky, you are always with Rama, you have the darshan of Rama. But I, even though I am chanting Lord Rama's name always, I
still
never...
not able to have his darshan. So then he tells, see, you should involve yourself in some sort of service. Only then you can have Lord Rama's darshan.
In this case, go to Mother Sita and ask about her welfare or whatever. So such small acts are very much important for God to shower His grace in future. Okay, Ganesh, we have just 5 more minutes to end this segment.
Yes.
And we have got much more to talk, right?
Yes.
So let us continue next week.
Next week. So to just give a prelude to what is going to come next week, there are different types of tapas which Swami tells from Bhagavad Gita itself.
Okay, yeah, Swami gave an elaborate discourse, a series of discourses in the year 1984, right?
Yeah, now, Swami gave 34 discourses.
Mm.
So we shall delve more into that aspect of Bhagavad Gita and what exactly are those three kinds of tapas.
Okay.
So they are Sharirika tapas, Vachika tapas and Manasika tapas.
Mm.
So we'll deal with that more in the next episode.
So today, in today's episode, we spoke at length about what Swami has told what tapas is. That is unity in thought, word and deed.
Yes.
Trikarna Shuddhi, as we call it.
Mm.
Okay. Okay, dear listeners, so we will take your leave and please send us your suggestions, comments, any questions. As we always say, that in this conversation, myself and Ganesh and all of you are also participants. So please participate in this discussion. Please send us your questions and points on this topic to our mail ID listener@radiosai.org. So in a while from now, at 12:30, till then we'll play you a beautiful song. You'll be joined by Brother Prem and Arvind for next segment of today's Thursday Live, that is Afternoon Satsang. We place this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet and take your leave. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Vivare Rama Rasam. Bye. Shri 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 Shri